All right. Come on in, everybody. Come on in. Good morning, Pam. Okay. We're going to make this participatory. Thanks for getting the doors, Lilia. Who has a cold? Oh, man, I thought it would be like everybody. Maybe I'm just projecting. I have a cold. Maybe you guys don't know what a cold is. Okay. I really hesitate to do this, but I'm going to do it. All right. I want to know how many of you guys really like Christmas. Whoa. That's everybody. Okay. So we've got a bunch of people who live in Whoville. Do we have any Grinches? Alyssa, you and me, girl. You and me. Does anybody else sometimes get grumpy at Christmas? I get grumpy at Christmas. I like living in Whoville in my better moments. I live there. But I get grumpy. I want to speak to the people who get grumpy. So if nobody's grumpy, let's just eat some food. I can just preach this to myself in the corner. Sometimes I get grumpy at Christmas songs. Or should I say Christmas songs? They don't talk about Jesus. Christmas. And so I get grumpy, and then I try to tell myself, well, what do you expect lost people to listen to? Come on, Brandon. Get with the program. I get grumpy at Santa. I get really grumpy. What's the song? You better watch out. Better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty, who's nice. Do you know he sees you when you're sleeping? And he knows when you're awake? I don't remember the rest of it. What's the rest of that? He knows if you're bad or good. For goodness sake. I'm so grumpy. I do not want to be threatened by this guy. And it's so threatening that I'm supposed to be good. And that theology is terrible. Because I'm not good. But I think I'm good because I get toys every year of my whole life. And I was out talking to people on campus with Timo this weekend. These people think they're good. And I was like, maybe you think you're good because you got presents every year. But of course, we all know we don't actually have to worry about presents being good until about a week before Christmas. And then we're threatened with being good. Other than that, it's just irrelevant. Santa is irrelevant, which is very interesting because it's this guy who's everywhere. And he's all-knowing. And he sees you all the time. And he's kind of transcendent. He can be everywhere at the same place because he goes everywhere and without outside of time, apparently. This is how you explain it to kids as they start to get older. And then he's over there and he's just doing nothing out there in the North Pole or heaven. He's just out there and he's completely irrelevant for the rest of the year. Not about a week before you're supposed to want something from them, you can be good. Drives me crazy. I went to a parade this week and everyone was really excited to see Santa. And I go, I'm not excited to see you. Because you say I might get cold, but nobody ever does. You don't come through with any of your promises. Not like the dude I know, and I get annoyed. Sorry, grumpy is the word I used. I get annoyed at materialism. I get annoyed at materialism in me and materialism in others. And we are living the most materialistic culture maybe ever. But materialism, it deceives us. And so none of us think we're actually, nobody in America thinks we're all materialists or whatever the word would be. We don't think we are. Because we're deceived. We live in this crazy materialistic world. And you know, Dave Ramsey's kind of famous, at least in my mind, for rants. And he went on a rant about, you don't have to participate in the crazy. And I just kind of like that he called it the crazy. You don't have to participate in the crazy if your family's crazy around Christmas. You don't have to. And so he rants, and I go, yes, but. But I live in this culture, and it's hard to be different in this culture. And I don't get to choose what it is and what it celebrates and what it doesn't celebrate. And I want to connect with family, but I don't want to participate in the crazy. And I actually like Christmas, and I get grumpy at the same time. And then there's the Christmas story. How many times have you heard the story? How many times have you heard it? Do you know, in my house, for the days leading up to Christmas, we read it every day. I don't know if you've ever been in a play about it. Or seen a play about it. Maybe you've seen more than one. I bet Owen's seen more than one Christmas play. And I know the story of the Christmas play that he knows about. Nobody ever goes, hey, let's have a Christmas play, but let's pick a different story. And I go, let's have Christmas, but let's take a different passage of the Bible. There's lots of stories about Jesus that you don't have memorized. But you've memorized this one because of Christmas. And I can quote to you, although not really, word for word, but I can tell you the story. My kids can tell you the story. You guys know, tell me the story. And I'm supposed to get up here and I'm supposed to talk about the story. And I'm just kind of like, can we just talk about something else? I don't know what I'm talking about. And man, when I start thinking like that, I start talking to myself, Brina, you're sounding awful grumpy. So I started thinking about how to take the boredom out of the Christmas story. And maybe I'm the only one bored. Like, some of you guys look really Christmassy and like you're having a lot of fun. And Scott was calling those people elves this morning, which I thought was kind of fun. And this is what I figured out as I started preaching to myself. It's not the story that's the amazing part, and it's not the story that connects with my heart, and it's not the story that connects with your heart, although the story is important and the story is amazing. But if you find yourself bored with the Christmas story, the question that unbored it for me was why? Why do we have the Christmas story? Why did God decide to do this? Why did Jesus decide to do this? And I just thought I'd got four verses here. Just real quick, I'd like to read them. I'd like to think about some whys. Verse number one. This is in 2 Corinthians. For our sake, He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The part that really strikes me in that verse, for our sake. for you. Because God loved you. Christmas, Jesus coming is for me. How do I know that Christmas is for me? It's because God loved me. This is also 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. So Jesus is rich, he becomes poor, so that I can be rich. And right there it is again. Yet for your sake he became poor. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For my sake. Now that's what it says. That's me. Jesus made hard decisions because he loved me. Christmas is Jesus loving me. 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving full acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Oh, I really liked praying with you guys this morning. It was beautiful. Christian was so Jesus-focused, and Owen is, he just radiates the joy that is in God all the time. God is the happiest being in the whole world, and so is Owen, because Owen's filled with him. And I've told people before that our church service doesn't start until Lee prays. Is it is just a wonder that all our souls together are welling up into this crescendo of praise that is Nate's prayer. I get sidetracked. I enjoyed Eddie's prayer, where he just said, hey, we're sinners. I can't do good. I can't please God. I'm a sinner. God is supposed to be very upset and angry and frustrated. And he can't get out of us what he wants. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came as a little baby to save sinners. And Paul goes, of whom I am the foremost. And I kind of say, sign me up. I'll step into the foremost camp. That's what Jesus came to die for. God loves sinners. Amen. Kind of a weird way to say it. But he does. 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not that I love God, but that God loved us. It doesn't really matter if I'm grumpy at Christmas or not. God's love is not dependent on me. God coming in the world is not dependent on me. It's not like I loved him first and then he responded to it. He just decided because he loves, because he's wrapping the whole world, because he loved the world. Propitiation for our sins. He appeased the wrath of God. He made atonement for all that stuff where he should be upset. And I don't know where you are. You might be really filled with regret in your life. You might live with a really deep sense of failure. But it doesn't matter what you've done. and it doesn't matter where you sit. See, if you are 100 times worse than you are, God's grace or God's mercy would still win. It's still bigger. So we could all just say, hey, today let's experience more of God's mercy and grace. Everybody be 100 times worse than you normally are today. God wouldn't be afraid of that in his mercy. I wouldn't be afraid of that. Now, we love God, and so we don't want to. But we're not going to run out of the mercy of God. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. Why else is there Christmas? God wanted to be with us. I enjoyed thinking about this week. So here we are. God is making a world in Genesis, and he makes this beautiful, perfect garden. And what does he want to do with his creation in the garden? He wants to take a walk. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. I don't know who the last person you took a walk with. But normally it's a good walk. It's peaceful. Relationally connecting. To take a walk with Adam in the cool of the day. And so there's this perfection. But then that perfection is gone, and God doesn't get to take a walk anymore with Adam. And he came at Christmas to restore that lost connection. He came at Christmas to restore it, to be with us. I have a friend who lost her husband to suicide this year. And it's a pretty heartbreaking story. And she has been very, she has posted a lot on Facebook as she has processed, allowing other people to connect. And I wanted to read you one of her posts. This is about a month after her husband died. She says this. Last night I went on a walk with the kids. He left 4 kids. I tried to be focused, present, positive, to encourage and enjoy them in our time. But I cried as we walked because he wasn't there. I know exactly what he'd have been doing. We've done it hundreds of times. He would chase the kids, making them laugh and squeal, enthusiastically cheer them on, run alongside, come back and hold my hand. My hand is empty. The worst part is how I know he would want to be here. How he would have loved that time and that walk. What a tragic, irreversible mistake. And he would be the first one at any of these moments that followed to apologize in tears for the pain. He wasn't himself in that moment and wasn't in his right mind. No one is when they make that choice to take their life. No judgment. I've been there. At the end of our walk, I saw a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman. And a man holding hands. And I literally felt as though I might vomit. The losses are just so great. We cannot even conceive the full outcome of our choices. All we can do is keep our eyes fixed on the one who knows us completely and still loves us infinitely. God have mercy. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And that was her walk. And what do you think God felt when he wanted to take a walk with Adam in the garden? But he couldn't anymore. How do you think he feels watching Satan walk with the people that he loved first? Like, do I really think that this woman loves her husband more than God loves us? No. See, Jesus came to be with us. He loves being with us to restore the lost connection of us walking with God. See, the word around Christmas is Emmanuel. Right? That's his Christmas name. So, I looked the word Emmanuel up in the dictionary. Here it is. It means alongside of. Jesus is alongside of, near to, in the company of. This is an interesting one. Into, as an associate or companion. See, God is alongside us as Emmanuel. You know, one of the names for the Holy Spirit is Paraclete, which means one who is called alongside another. So the Spirit is alongside, and this, right? And it's Jesus promised the Spirit, and that he would never leave or forsake. He said, when I leave, there will be another comforter, another one alongside to comfort. Or even like God's in the company of. In the garden, God was in the company of Adam and Eve. He was in their company. But now, our Emmanuel, he's in the company of, well, us. I'm assuming that means not just here at church, but I even just think about here at church. He is in the company of us. That's what he came. That's what he likes. This is where he wants to be. So God's in the company of us, and he knows what we think. He knows our hurt. He knows our joy and our gladness. Because he's Emmanuel. He is near. I like how David said, God is the shade at my right hand. My wife was marking, she was trying to find a good picture for the wall, but there were shadows in all of them. She's like, there's always shadows, right? And I was like, well, that happens when it's sunny, and it's sunny a lot. The shade in my right hand, my shadow, that messes up all the pictures. God is that close. He's in all the pictures. You know, I like that song, O Come Emmanuel. And I didn't know this, but it is the oldest Christmas song we sing. About 800 AD. It's the oldest. Now, the music comes from later, and of course, it was not written in English, so it was translated. But it comes from a poem. A 7-stanza poem with a refrain. And I thought I'd read you guys the poem. Because it talks about, well, I'll tell you what it talks about after I read it to you. How's that? All right. Oh, I won't read it this way, but when this man, what was his name? John Mason Neal, when he translated it, draw nigh, Emmanuel. Well, what's a draw nigh? It is move near. Right? So move near. We're just looking at God. Move near. Here's the poem. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O wisdom from on high, who ordered all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in its ways to go. Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, great Lord of might, who to your tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud, majesty, and awe. Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O branch of Jesse's stem, until your own, unto your own, excuse me, and rescue them from depths of hell, your people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe for us the heavenward road and bar the way to death's abode. Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night, and turn our darkness into light. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O King of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid all our sad divisions cease, and be yourself our King of peace. Rejoice, excuse me, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. So he wants us, the response in our soul is rejoicing. Rejoicing to the things God brings when he comes, right? So he brings knowledge and guidance, and he came, and when he came, he brought the law, and he came, and he brought victory, and he brought salvation, and because of that, things are safe, and there is comfort, and darkness is turned to light, and divisions cease, and he brings peace, and when God comes, all this stuff's happened, and we've all experienced some of it in our soul. We've experienced just a little of the first fruits, because he has come. And he has come at Christmas, and he's come to our hearts, and we've touched it. But he also is coming, and we will experience all that stuff in the fullness of it. You know, the original text was an acrostic. You know what an acrostic is, right? Where you, on... You know, H-A-M, ham, right? In the cross, you go Henry and Andy and Matt, right? And so Henry, Andy, and Matt are ham, right? And so, yeah, whatever. So an acrostic. So the acrostic is a word that's not in our language. But do you know what the translation of the word is? That him is an acrostic in? The translation of the two words, I shall be with you tomorrow. Right? The embedded promise in the scripture and in the poem and thus in the song, I will be with you tomorrow. Man. Spirit whispers that. I'll be with you tomorrow. All right. Let's see. I am not going to do all this for another time. I want to talk. So as we are in Christ and how Jesus wants to be with us, I think about, well, how do I be with Jesus? Jesus gave us this great gift of himself at Christmas. And then how do I in one sense receive that gift, but also connect with Jesus and give him part of what he was looking for, which is part of the restoration of the Garden of Eden, which is connection and walking with God. How do I walk with God? And I wanted to talk about, there's lots of ways people talk about this, lots of analogies, lots of acrostics. This is the way I think about it. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. So here it is. Grumpy people in the house. First thing. It's Christmas season, you're busy, you're running, grumpy, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. You stop when you realize you are not experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, okay. You're not experiencing those. Peace, love, gentleness, gone. You're like, uh-oh. I am on fire because I am destroying now myself and people around me because I am on fire. I am not experiencing these things. I need to stop. I need to recognize that I'm on fire, and now I need to drop. And this is what dropping looks like for me. Okay, God, I breathe out my fear and my selfishness and my grumpiness. I breathe it out, and I breathe in your Spirit. I give you these things I'm worried about. I trust you. I breathe in your Spirit. So the dropping is just, it's just kind of a repentance of where you're at. I kind of picture it like dropping to your knees, even though you're supposed to be dropping kind of and rolling on the floor. But I stop, I drop, and I roll. I invite God's Spirit to come in. And then here's my key part. This is why I love stop, drop, and roll. I roll on. I roll on believing that when I asked Jesus to come take his Spirit and fill me up, he did. Sometimes it's imperceptible, but I believe that he did, and I can walk in that, in the Spirit. And then, 10 minutes later, when I'm grumpy again, I do it again. And then 5 minutes later, when Santa Baby comes on the radio, I do it again. And you know what? If I practice that, I could be a really joyful person at Christmas and really love Christmas, and I can love the people around me, even though there's more stuff going on, even though it's more stressful, even though all that stuff, I can be really gentle with the people around me because I'm filled with the Spirit and I stop, drop, and roll. And when you're first trying to do this and walk in the Spirit, it will be about 100 times a day. But you get better and patterned at walking with God. And then as you walk with God, and I believe, hey, I'm going to roll on. I'm full with the Spirit, and I'm with God, and he's walking with me, and we're walking through life. Then you're walking with God, and God is really pleased, and you get to experience that. And of course, there's lots of answers to how we walk with God in Christmas season, but that's the one I've been needing recently. Stop, drop, and roll. This is kind of abrupt, but let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, that we are going to be with you, and you're going to invite us up onto your throne. Lord, you conquered and you sat on your Father's throne so that you could judge, God, and you say to him who overcomes, can I be up on your throne? And God, I used to think of it as I'm this little kid coming up on your throne, and I just kind of sit there while you do everything, but I think you're inviting me to be with you and rule with you, alongside you. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing for the rest of the eternity. That's what you wanted. You want to be alongside us. You want us to be alongside you. We're just connected now. And Lord, by your grace, we want to walk into that connection. We want to walk with you. And give us the grace to do that this Christmas season. I just thank you that it's a place to stop and celebrate you coming. God, I thank you for a season that has to do with where people are looking for joy and they're challenged to give. And God, and we could enumerate beautiful things. Lord, may our minds be, God, on whatever is noble and good and excellent and praiseworthy. God, may our minds be on you. I thank you for this month. And thank you that you will be with every single person here. People in pain, like my friend writing on Facebook, Lord, or people full of joy. God, you are with everyone. I just praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.